Fearless Jones is the title of the new novel from Walter Mosley. Like Mosley's Easy Rollins series of crime novels, it's set in L.A. in the 1950s. But Fearless Jones features a new set of characters. There's Fearless Jones, the character that gives the novel its title, and he's a guy who lives up to his name. But the other major character in this book is not so fearless. He's uneasy when the going gets tough. He admits to cowardice. His name is Paris Minton. He's a young African-American businessman, the owner of a used bookstore in Watts. He's the narrator in this book. Walter Mosley is the author of 11 novels, including Always Outnumbered, Always Outgunned, Devil in a Blue Dress, and Blue Light. He's also the author of one book of nonfiction, Working on the Chain Gang. Walter Mosley joins us this afternoon from Chicago. This evening, you'll find him at African American Images. That reading is set for 5:30. Tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, he'll be at the Chicago Public Library, the Harold Washington Library at State and Congress. Walter Mosley, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
Good. I suspect a normal non-macho narrator is unusual. An unusual choice for a narrator in a noir mystery.
Yeah, I keep on trying to think of another one somewhere. I haven't been able to. I know there must be.
Yeah.
But the idea, my thought was I would create a narrator who was more like the reader, but definitely steeped in this noir world. I think it was I don't think it's any better way to look at it, but it's another way to look at it.
Yeah. Why did you make that choice? And was it a difficult choice to make?
You know, In writing, I find that the choices kind of happen. They kind of, you know, I'm writing about this guy and he responds in a certain way. I think that probably because I was doing a thing. You know, there's that notion that you have two petty criminals. One, you know, breaks into parking meters, and the other one picks pockets, and they're going to be petty criminals their whole lives. But then they get together and they become this monstrous criminal. You know, they go on this crime spree and they kill 20 people, and they're just wild. And neither one of them would do it on their own, but together they just bring it out in each other. Well, I thought that, you know, there was another way to do it. That, you know, you bring these two people together. One who's incredibly intelligent and well-read, and a little cowardly, Paris. And then you have this really brave and powerful guy who's not too intelligent, but who has a very smart heart. You know, he doesn't have a smart head, but he has a really smart heart that can tell when somebody's lying. That even if he doesn't understand what you're talking about, he knows what you mean, maybe even better than you do. And who also, you know, knows how to fight. You put these two guys together, and you come up with a quite formidable detective.
Mm. And how is it that these two guys become friends?
They become friends almost by mistake, the way many things happen. Fearless, who's so wonderful, he's loved by many women. One day, Paris sees him sitting at a table with these five or six women, and he offers to buy everybody drinks. Now, of course, he just wants to sit at the table to meet some of the women. But Fearless, who's so kind of clear and pure-hearted, loves Paris for, you know, being kind, buying him drinks, you know, being nice to him, and they just stayed friends after that.
Yeah. Now, is their friendship different, or is it similar to the friendship that we have between Easy and Mouse?
Well, Easy and Mouse don't depend on each other. Mouse has his world and his life, and it's kind of pretty hard to get into it, and you really wouldn't want to because it's very dangerous in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Easy has his notion of the world. It's very clear, and it's the kind of classic noir notion. You know, it's kind of a tough guy who sees the world and tries to make things different and make things better. Paris and Fearless are really friends. They really, you know, work together. They really love each other, in a way that, you know, that's demonstrable and that is clear.
They have a capability to be better friends to one another.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
They're very different. The way I look at the Easy Rollins novels, Easy is a very melancholy character. I love him, but he's melancholy. You know, he sees the world for what it is, and when you look at the world for what it is, it makes you sad. It makes your eyes droop a little bit and makes you want to go back home. I see the Easy Rollins novels as dramas verging on tragedy. And I see Paris Minton and Fearless Jones as drama verging on comedy.
Hmm.
In the Greek sense.
This story, Fearless Jones, begins in October of 1954. And I can't think but help of history here. 6 months before October 1954, the U.S. Supreme Court handed down the Brown decision.
Yeah.
And World War II is still a fresh memory. Fearless is a vet. The Easy Rollins series also takes place in the 50s. Are you a student of the history of this time?
No. E.C. Rollins, the first E.C. Rollins books happens in 1938, the second one in 48, and then I have two in the 50s, and then Yellow Dog is in the 60s. I think the important thing for black writers, one of the things is that in America, or in any country, in the modern world, literature holds the culture. If you control the literature, you control the culture. And so, certainly, the history of literature in the United States, first, dominated by white male Christians, and then that kind of opened up to white male Christians and Jews, and then of course women got involved. But when you come to all the history of all the parts of America through the literature. But when you start talking about Hispanic and Native American, Asian, and African American history in the literature, it's just not there very much. And so one of the places I'm from Los Angeles, mm-hmm. And I want to talk about the changes in California, Southern California and Northern, between, let's say, 1938, when the people who are going to move there are still living down in the Deep South, and 2050, jump, 100 years from 1950 to 2050.
Yeah.
And I want to do that because I think it's important that people read and know at least something about where black people are coming from.
Yeah. At least once upon a time, L.A. was seen to be a place where you could begin again. When you grew up there, what was it like?
Well, I think that it was like that. Everybody could go there, and because everybody could go there, and because so many people were going there, anybody can get a job. You couldn't be in a place that, well, listen, don't hire that black or that whatever. You couldn't say that. Say, listen, man, he has two hands, he works hard, I'm going to hire him. If you don't like it, you can get out of here. Because I need people to work for me. I don't care what color they are, what they're thinking, what their religion is. And that held out a lot of hope, especially for African Americans from Texas and Louisiana.
Mm. I understand you were 30 when you started writing. Is that true?
I think 34.
What led you to writing, and what had you been doing before?
Well, I was a computer programmer to make money. And I'd been doing that for 10 years, I think, at that time, 10 or 12. And I kept on doing it while I began my writing. And I just started. One day I was sitting in a cubicle in a building, and I wrote a sentence, and the sentence sounded really good. I was like, that could be a novel. I'd read many books, but I hadn't thought of writing them, really. And so I said, well, I'll just keep on and see where that goes.
Hmm. I understand that you also are a great fan of comic books, or were when you were a kid.
Yeah, about 6 months ago I stopped collecting. I do. I have many, many thousands of comic books in boxes here and there, and I collected them for many years, and I guess a lot of my literary influences come from comic books, but I finally stopped. It got too much for me.
Yeah. What was your favorite series?
That's a really hard question to answer. I suppose it was the Fantastic Four, Marvel Comics was what I loved, because they talked about the complex idea of a person who's both good and evil, and those are good notions for me to deal with.
Mm. I wonder if those comics put you on track to write about heroes.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. It is true that it seemed to me that it's very apparent to me that I need to talk about characters who are heroic, even if they're anti-heroes or non-heroes like Paris Minton.
Hmm.
But I don't know. A lot of the characters I write about aren't they aren't Superman. With the exception of Fearless and Mouse. they have clay feet, and they make a lot of errors, and they can definitely lose. Comes from the title of the first Socrates Fortlow collection, Always Outnumbered, Always Outgunned.
Yeah. Recently you were featured on Morning Edition in a series of reports Susan Stamberg did on the favorite books of writers. It was interesting you chose a work by T.S. Eliot.
The Four Quartets.
Yeah, The Four Quartets. Why has that poem been important to you? Would you remind us?
It's so beautiful. It's an incredibly beautiful poem. I remember reading in the beginning of that little, it's like a sonnet. It's not exactly a sonnet. It says, garlic and sapphires in the mud clot the bedded axle tree, the trilling wire in the blood. And it just goes on and on. It goes from from the ground. You know, there's the boarhound and the boar, you know, and their relationship, their hunting relationship, hunting and hunted relationship, and then it ends up in the universe, you know, that everything is reconciled in the stars. There's something incredibly beautiful and incredibly melancholy about the quartets. It's just about the life, you know. Here's T.S. Eliot writing in the middle of the war, World War II, living in England, experiencing this incredibly sad existence. I'm really moved by the language. As I said in that talk, I don't understand the whole thing. Originally, I wanted to talk about 100 Years of Solitude, but somebody else wanted to talk about that.
Mm. Do you learn things as a prose writer from reading poetry?
Well, you know, I studied writing. I'm a really bad poet. I just want you to understand. I tried to write poetry, and it's really bad. I get embarrassed even thinking of the poems I've written. But I studied writing poetry with Bill Matthews, a wonderful poet, for 3 years. And I learned as much as I could about writing poetry, which has all been transferred into fiction. And it's about condensation, about the music of language, about metaphor and extended metaphor, about multiple uses of sentences, about sound. Almost everything you need to know about writing is true in poetry. I think the narration and dialogue, you get more in fiction, and I had to learn those in other places. But it was wonderful for me because I knew I was never going to be a poet. I could go all out studying it and learning from it, and not feel bad when I failed and mm-hmm. fell on my face.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to say about 100 Years of Solitude?
Oh, you know, it's another book that's incredibly beautiful. You know, it's the story of a man's 100-year relationship to a place, to a home, and that relationship goes on all kinds of levels. You know, works on these mystical levels and these incredibly realistic levels. It's wonderfully comic, and it's deeply, deeply beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Have you begun work on another book?
Oh God, yeah. I have a book coming out in November called Future Land, which is a collection of interconnected science fiction stories, real science fiction, not like Blue Light, which is kind of speculative fiction, about 50 years in the future. It's a lot about it's informed, I think, you know, by writers like Jacques Ellul and Lewis Mumford, who talk not only about technology but how that technology transforms, you know, economy and therefore the culture and the society, and you know, a lot about black people living, you know, in this technological future and how their lives are altered and how they change and how the rest of the world changes too.
Well, I'm really excited that you keep, you know, moving, and you keep writing all kinds of different things.
Well, you know, I think it's really important for writers. You know, it's not money-wise, it's much better to write not only the same kind of book, but the same book about the same characters. You can write them again and again and again. And what you do is you develop a following of people who, you know, want to read that book. They really enjoyed it, and there's something really satisfying about it. And you know, I understand. I'm like that as a reader sometimes. You know, I love reading Rex Stout, for instance, who, you know, wrote the same book again and again. But for a writer,
yeah,
it's important. If you want to grow, you have to go to different places. Otherwise, you know, certain abilities and talents either don't develop or atrophy.
Yeah. Well, thank you for talking with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you.
Walter Mosley has been our guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. His new book is Fearless Jones.